Hello and welcome to You Like the Worst Stuff. This week, it's an all sports episode. Joe Foreman.
And with Joe Haygood out for the week, that means no soccer.
Right. Only real sports here, like pro wrestling. I'm Tony Sadowski, and we're about to lay the smackdown on episode 522.
The stuff you like is bad. The stuff we like is worse. You Like the Worst Stuff, the pop culturally questionable podcast. Worsting it up since 2011. Press start in 3, 2, 1.
This week in questionable pop culture, Foreman, you'd ask me a question before the show, and I wanted to address it. Yeah, so I'm going to indulge you here, folks, and maybe this would be something that would be of pop culture use to our myriad, countless thousands, millions and millions of listeners.
Extremely useful. Now, as we know, we are all wise purveyors of pop culture knowledge and whatnot, and
we are that.
The thing that I noticed recently is that The Rock is on wrestling again.
He appears to be back.
Not as just like a one-time off guest star thing. Like, is he part of the show, the story now? Because what's interesting to me is that obviously I'm aware of how his career started. Why we call him The Rock. I smell what he's cooking.
Of course. Of course.
But then he became like the most important movie star in the world.
Yeah.
And
he was a huge Hollywood
complete
star who was, you know,
bankable
from the ring.
Celebrity, owns multiple businesses of selling, I don't know, fruit bars and energy drinks and
whatever.
Is of the level of celebrity that Jeff Keighley will ask him to pre-record a complete ramble for a video game show.
Yep.
And then the Black Adam movie happens.
Yeah. And
he's convinced that he is now taking over an entire superhero film franchise.
I mean, it's always been his for the taking. He just had to get there, right? Come on.
And then it just didn't happen. No. He gambled and lost on that.
Yep. Wasn't great.
Is this just the fallback? Is he finally fallen far enough in his career that he's got to go back to wrestling? Like, where is he now?
Okay, so here's the behind-the-scenes shenanigans
that led to
The Rock coming back in this capacity. And this is something that he's come back before to kind of do an extended stay to headline WrestleMania for a couple of years, to hold the belt for a while. He did it with John Cena for quite a while, a few years back. So when The Rock returns, it's always a big deal in the wrestling world because we get a flashback to that time everybody remembers so fondly, and he's still really fun to watch. He's really exciting when he's in the ring. He's silly and, you know, just a great time. But ultimately, this to me goes back to COVID, right? So 2000, there's tons of instability in everything, wrestling very much included, right? During this time, during COVID, it's dire. There's no audiences. They're doing empty arena shows to try to keep TV going. It's so bad. I watched it to just kind of see what was happening, and they were trying, but it sucked. Their whole business model was kind of like leveled by that, as were most others, right? Their untelevised house shows they would do all year long, that's all borked. So they're trying to figure out what they can do to kind of go forward and kind of reset because things were bad. And this,
not to mention the Vince McMahon scandal and departure.
Well, this plays in very much. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So, okay. There's this dude named Nick Khan. All right.
Right.
And he comes into WWE's picture about 2020. He's a well-known like sports talent agent. He's represented like big name sports TV talent athletes. He works out big money media deals, and he was involved in the recent, like, that TV deal with Fox that got WWE on there, right? So he was on Vince's radar, and he's officially in the fold in 2020, right? He's there to help boost business. Nick Khan's sister is the showrunner and creator of the Young Rock sitcom on NBC. And also, not for nothing, they're like childhood friends. So he's known Nick Khan his whole life, all right? So 2021, WWE Network goes away. Everything's kind of consolidating. They're on Peacock. And in 2022, as you mentioned, Vince announces his, quote, retirement.
Right.
Because there's sexual misconduct allegations. Not a shock. at all.
No.
That the guy who publicly made his on-air persona about being one of the grossest human beings on the planet for like 20 years, he ended up being complete trash. He's terrible, right? We hate Vince. He's awful. But in July of that year, he retires, and Triple H, his son-in-law, becomes head of creative, and Nick Khan and Vince's daughter Stephanie become co-CEOs of the company, all right? So, you know, Rock's old buddy is into the picture, kind of half-running things. And here's the thing. Vince is awful, right? So you'll remember, with his cheesy mustache and everything, he forced his way back into WWE on the board in 2023 after about 6 months away when they were trying to sell the company.
Right,
so
right.
Stephanie resigned like a week later. She wanted nothing to do with her father. And she left, you know, she left the company, basically. So Khan is the only CEO left. All right, in this scenario, and there's rumors of sales. Disney was going to buy them at some point. Netflix, the Saudis, all kinds of stuff, right? All kinds of shady shenanigans. Ultimately, this company called Endeavor bought WWE. They own UFC. They're part of a group called TKO now, right?
Right.
So because Vince is still involved as part of this TKO thing, there's like back and forth, who's really in charge. No. Vince sucks at creative. Triple H is actually good at it, and the wrestlers respect him. But Vince is always in the way, kind of mucking things up. Then another scandal breaks at the beginning of 2024.
Yeah.
And Vince has to step down from TKO, right? So he's done.
Which is the first time he's ever had to actually separate himself from wrestling ever.
Right. And since, like, you know, he took the company over from his dad. Yeah. Like, he's run pro wrestling and, like, you know, beaten every competitor. He's been the main creative vision for, you know, good or worse during that time. And all the ups and downs has pretty much been him. And now he's out. He has no power in WWE. He's done. He's gone. So Triple H is the real head of creative. And who's president of WWE? That's Nick Khan. So right around that same time, we learned that Dwayne Johnson was appointed to the TKO board.
Oh.
And he would he gained ownership of the trademark The Rock, which WWE still owned.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
So as part of that deal.
Yeah, because those poor guys get ripped off right and left as far as who owns what.
It's terrible. It's terrible what Vince did. So they also remember they signed that like 10-year, $5 billion Netflix deal to stream Raw next year. So there's all kinds of business stuff going on back behind the scenes. But yeah, Rock is back. He showed up on SmackDown one night when I just happened to be like flipping channels and saw it, right? I haven't regularly watched wrestling in years. Mm-hmm. I check in at WrestleMania. I kind of follow the storylines here and there, and I listen to a podcast or two here and there. But current It Boy Cody Rhodes, who's Dusty's son, it looked like in the storyline he was going to give up his title shot against the big dog in the company, Roman Reigns, who is The Rock's cousin. And the fans, yeah. So Rock is all over this, right? So I think from back in like WrestleMania, like probably 2 years ago, like the setup for WrestleMania 39, they were talking about ways for Rock to come back. And he kind of was like, I want it to be something good and a real thing if I come back again. So yeah, he's actually on the board. He's been calling himself the final boss in the storyline. He's been palling around with his cousin. The fans revolted when he came back and tried to put himself in the title picture. So WWE pivoted, listening to the fans, shockingly, and Cody and Roman headlined WrestleMania, with The Rock involved in the story the whole way through as a bad guy and leaning into it and loving it. And so, Cody won the belt, got his happy ending. But yeah, The Rock he's very much part of the show and was an active participant on their shows.
Is it like a Hollywood Hogan kind of heel turn thing?
Yeah, this is one that I don't think they intended to do. I think the fans were so angry that he was going to ruin this guy's like title reign that he worked his, you know, way up to, like, they wanted him to like finish the storyline and beat this Roman Reigns character after he held the title for like 15 years. And yeah, there's The Rock to kind of steal the thunder. So everybody booed The Rock and they pivoted and made The Rock the bad guy. So yeah, he's on the board and we'll see where it goes from there. But he's very much back and very much involved. So
it's so funny to me because like if he saw a great future with film, would he be doing this? Like this, because it's a lot of work. Wrestling's a lot of work.
$5 billion.
I guess.
He's on the board. He can come and go. He can show up and be good or bad as he feels like
I
now.
Guess.
And you know, I guess this is as good a time as any for him to get re-involved in wrestling again, because this is the first time that the McMahons as a unit, like Vince and his family, haven't held a controlling interest in this company, haven't controlled creative in some way or completely, in decades, back to the 80s, right? So it's there was a power vacuum. And Rock is certainly a big enough star and a big enough name that him being in the picture immediately makes folks pay attention again. And it's not for nothing that their most successful period, that Attitude Era of like kind of late 90s, when those anti-heroes like Triple H and The Rock and Steve Austin were becoming like pop culture names, like not just wrestling names. They were a big deal. The two of those guys literally run the show now. So people are interested to see what they're doing, and the wrestlers kind of have there are other companies that have popped up over the past few years again. There's been some competition. So there's just kind of a general energy in the industry again to see how things are going to settle out. And, you know, it looks like WWE is kind of on a Vince-less path now, and we're going to see where it goes. But ultimately, I think that's a very good thing, you know?
Yeah, that's good. It's just what's remarkable to me is this is kind of like if Arnold Schwarzenegger, after his years of doing action movies,
right.
where he was the Hollywood draw for a long time, if he decided to just go back into bodybuilding.
No, I get it.
You know, he's gonna go back on the circuit. He's gonna go back and do tours in Munich or whatever, back to posing and all that.
No, I get it. I don't think Rock comes in and he's wrestling week in and week out. I think it was part of this kind of 3-month build after, you know, that they do every year from Royal Rumble in January up to Mania, where he was heavily involved in making this show that just happened a couple weeks ago in Philadelphia a really big thing and a big draw. Now that he's back involved, he's officially on the board of the company. I think it was just kind of I honestly don't think he's going to be on regularly, but he's around again. Yeah. So he really did like make himself a regular part of the show, over the past couple of months. And he may still be involved. He may get into a thing with Roman. He may end up being, you know, him on the bill is not a bad thing. He's in phenomenal shape. He was great in the ring still. So he's still a rock, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
but
I guess I'm throwing shade on wrestling by saying that he's now stepping down, which that's sort of inadvertent on my part.
No, I get it.
But that's sort of what shocks me.
Does,
that he's just...
I get that when you it, because so much is made of making the quote leap, right? When you break through, you're one of the few that like goes into legitimate cinema and becomes a Hollywood star, where to the point where Dwayne Johnson is a known name and people know who he is and don't have to think about his wrestling anymore. He's just a star, right?
Right. Like, imagine if Mike Myers went back to being a featured performer on Saturday Night Live.
Right, exactly.
No, the point for Saturday Night Live actors is to become feature film stars.
Your star burns bright. You go make some movies, you do your thing.
And then to go back and still be doing, you know... Name your least favorite Mike Myers character from Saturday Night Live's late 80s, early 90s golden era.
There he is slumming again, right?
I think he was Pat, right? He was It's Pat. Wasn't that what he did?
Well known as It's Pat. That was Mike Myers.
Yeah, Mike Myers' Pat thing, right?
Schwing. We all love Pat.
Right.
It was wild to see Rock back. I don't follow it religiously. I didn't know he was coming back in any way. So his return was a surprise for me. And I kind of loved that, you know, that they leaned into listening to the crowd turn on Rock in a way that I don't think they anticipated.
Because he's a beloved figure. He's in the Fast and the Furious movies. He's done all this stuff.
He comes back. Everybody's excited. They cheer. And then it turns out, hey, wait, big Mr. Hollywood screwing over our guy. So... he's going to steal his thunder. We don't like that. So, yeah, it was pretty great. And they rolled with it. During WrestleMania, they were promoting like a follow-up mini documentary about the backstage storyline changes leading up to WrestleMania. So they are completely in control of their own narrative and
you also get a Sports Illustrated football phone.
They're back to blurring the lines between like you know, backstage real and fake, which is a lot of fun. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But yeah, Rock has been a regular featured player yet again for the past three months.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating. And now let's move on to probably the world's second best sport after pro wrestling.
I think we can all agree.
Hockey.
I love me some Hershey Bears. Yes.
Right up there, hockey on this all sports episode. So today, I watched, and I've been watching hockey games.
Yeah.
So I'm no stranger. I'm no dilettante here.
I like the hockey. I get it.
But the NHL has started experimenting with using all those great in-rink sensing technology, cameras, whatever, and having it fully live simulcast what looks like a video game, but live. So you are getting the actual on-ice action, the actual plays, but it's being turned into a complete simulation. They did it with the cartoon Big City Greens a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And so you've got the Big City Greens cartoon characters on the ice, one for one acting out what is going on in the live game.
That's crazy.
And today they did that with Multiversus.
Oh, wow.
If you remember Multiversus.
I do recall. I think that was in the heyday of the Rock's Attitude Era days was the launch of Multiversus.
Yeah, and it was in beta for several months. It was sort of okay received until people realized that they weren't, you know, adding anything to the game during for weeks and months and weeks and months. So then they kind of like shut down the online component and they gave it a launch date like almost a full year out from when it had been turned off.
They sure
like
did.
And now it's coming back. It's coming back on again at the end of May. Supposedly improved graphics, roster additions, whatever.
Great.
But they picked four of the characters for each team. It was the Colorado Avalanche and the Vegas Golden Knights are playing today, and they simulated the game live, but with like Batman and Wonder Woman and Bugs Bunny and Finn from Adventure Time playing. So you're watching what looks like a video game, but it is the live actual hockey action, and they have their own announcers.
Excellent.
Because the announcers keep referring to like, "Oh, Shaggy got a piece of that one."
Right past the Bugs.
Yeah, and they had their own announcers, they had their own stuff to fill time during intermission. And they kept pointing out how cool it was that in the Multiversus hockey arena, you could get like a puck cam. Like they literally put a camera on the puck, and so you're riding the puck into the goal as what's his face from the Colorado Avalanche makes a shot. The disappointing thing is that since it's only four cool characters per team, everybody else is like this basically like subpar me character.
Right, awful. We're back to what did they call those on the Xbox? They're those.
Right. Avatars.
Were they just avatars? Oh, how dire.
Right.
No they wonder that cool company's a complete shambles. Ugh.
Right. Just junk.
Xbox is just trash.
But it was funny to watch. I mean, they did try to fully present it inside of a Multiversus scenario. The announcers kept talking about it. The backgrounds and the crowd were all Multiversus stuff.
It's cool.
Yeah, it was really funny to watch. And the thing that got me is that nobody in video gaming knew about this.
Right. Another big surprise.
Like, okay, all right. Multiversus isn't exactly a hot property at the moment. You know, everyone kind of has already written it off, even though it hasn't
officially
launched.
No one was talking
launched.
About it at all.
No one cares about it. But, like, shouldn't Warner Brothers maybe have tried to, like, seed some stories amongst the video game community to get people to know about this thing? And it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't like they did a whole lot of talking about the video game. In the pregame show, they talked about the characters' classes, which was hilarious because here's the announcers talking about, and Steven Universe is a support class character in Multiversus. And Just ridiculous. But it wasn't like they revealed anything like, oh, and now here's a surprise new character. It's Spike the Bulldog is now going to be in multi- nothing like that. But it was just funny that, like, I was talking about it online and, like, nobody knew what I was talking about. Nobody. And it wasn't like it was advertised to me to find. I just stumbled into it as I was looking at upcoming hockey games that are being broadcast on Hulu versus HBO Max.
Right.
And I see the one little tile with a Multiversus logo on it. And I'm like, what the
heck? Right, what the what?
Yeah. What? Full stop. I got to examine. So, yeah, I made an appointment to watch that today. And it was pretty ridiculous. You know how when you see people doing VR stuff you see the on-screen representation of what they're doing as they're waving their controllers around and it doesn't quite look right? That's what this looks like. Like Superman is holding a hockey stick because he's based on an actual player on the team that is holding a hockey stick. And when they move sometimes, like, it doesn't quite match right with the Superman model. Like, the stick will cut through his torso or that kind of stuff.
Thing happens.
Yeah, there was lots of weird clipping stuff. There was lots of just, like, hands doing strange things. But overall, not too bad.
No, kind of cool.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Because you can actually watch them make plays, which I think is the key thing when you're trying to watch a hockey game. The Avalanche scored 3 goals, right? And they're ahead in the second period. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the 3rd goal was scored by Velma.
Of course.
Which is just funny.
Yeah.
It's just funny. But then in the 3rd period, and the Golden Knights had a goal, but then was taken off the scoreboard because of goalie interference or some crap. So it looks like a blowout for Vegas. Until the 3rd period when Batman does a beautiful wraparound goal and just sinks it. Just perfect. Comes from behind, just whang. Just gets it right in there. And then all of a sudden the Golden Knights score 3 goals in a row, tying it up. And then it goes into overtime. And unfortunately, overtime didn't have any of the Multiversus characters in it because I assume they're all assigned to particular players, right? But none of those particular players were booked for the overtime, which was 4-on-3 because there was a penalty going into it. It would have been 3-on-3 overtime, but it was 4-on-3 because of the penalty, which is some very complicated hockey rules that I was not aware of and will not retain after this weekend.
I get it. So I feel it wasn't like, a very I feel like exciting... most NFL games end these days on like some obscure rule no one's ever heard of, and the entire season will hinge on it for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, so unfortunately, no hilarious multiverses action at the very end when the Golden Knights scored in overtime and win it 4-3 after being down by 3 for most of the game.
Craziness.
It was pretty exciting and just ridiculous watching multiverses.
Yeah, that's
characters doing it.
It's kind of neat and silly and wonderful. I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, like, and I guess it's part of the NHL trying to do outreach to younger viewers.
Sure.
So they're going to Big City Greens as a Disney cartoon. They're going to Multiversus as a video game, as a cute cartoon stuff, because obviously it's, you know, Steven Universe, Adventure Time, Scooby-Doo, Justice League. So I guess there's a little bit of outreach there, but just so funny that, like, nobody I knew in video gaming had any idea this was happening.
No, I hadn't heard a thing. It just kind of...
Right, you'd think it would have been something that, like, they would have bothered to promote because it's interesting technology.
No, it's neat.
Who else is doing this? Like, we're getting to the point where we could have this could be the thing you do for all the time.
Sure,
you could always have this going on.
Sure, to have this and then like on the heels of the SpongeBob Super Bowl calling stuff. Like, there's a lot of neat kind of interplay with sports right now, and it's, you know, it's all happening live. It's really cool stuff.
Yeah, that's some really interesting technology. But let's give away a free game.
That's a great idea. Like, we should.
Let's give away a game that Joe Hagan would tell you is pretty good.
Yeah, a well-known sports game as well.
System Shock 2.
Yes.
Very sports related.
So sporty.
You can get this on Steam with this code 8XHLN0BRPQ40L4M. And as always, if the zeros don't work, try O.
Hey. I love it. And now, at long last, we come to one last thing. everybody gets a chance to, well, let the two of us get a chance to show some love or throw a little shade at whatever the heck we feel like.
And talk about sports.
Yeah, more sports. You know, it should be a shock for me. I'm just going to bring up WrestleMania 40 here. Why we did not record last week because I was out watching it with friends.
Right.
As I noted, I typically tend to check in around Royal Rumble time to the storylines again if I haven't been following, just to see what the build up to Mania looks like. And I typically watch it with the same group of friends each year, and we have a blast. This year was in Philadelphia. It was super cool to see it at the Link, and you know, just kind of see the, you know, the local Philly you know, scenes and all their B-roll and everything. The crowd is ridiculous as always. There were mummers around the ring during WrestleMania. Swoop, the Eagles mascot, and the Eagles cheerleaders were in the ring at some point with Snoop Dogg because it's a ridiculous spectacle. And and we ended with a fantastic title match that did involve The Rock in some capacity at the end until he got chokeslammed by The Undertaker because I guess Steve Austin was busy. So, yeah, it was a blast. We had so much fun watching, laughed a lot. The matches were good. It was fun. And, you know, I look forward to 41 every year. We have a good time watching it. Foreman, what do you got this week?
To keep up the sports trend, I'm going to talk about Chia, the video game that actually is nothing to do with sports at all.
Oh, well.
If you remember, this came out last year, was nominated for a bunch of awards.
Yes. Probably absolutely. Won some. I know exactly what game you're talking about.
Yeah. It was on sale for $15.
Yeah.
Which is very easy to strike at price.
Yep, that's pretty good.
And so I picked it up, and it is really good. It deserves all of the awards and accolades that it has gathered to date.
Nice. It's funny because every year there's no shortage of these kind of like indie darling games that we don't get to right away.
Yeah.
And it's never a surprise when we do play them that they are fantastic. But it's good to hear that this one definitely lives up.
Chia is definitely pulling from Breath of the Wild. It is an open world thing. It is obviously a lot smaller than a major Nintendo release, but it's doing all of the stuff that you would expect a top quality Nintendo game to do. Like, it's got that polish. It's got that fully realized vision. The game makes a big deal about its origins, about New Caledonia. You know I hate subtitles.
Yeah.
I always turn them off immediately. But like, this is a game where you can't. It's like the Yakuza games where, like in the Yakuza games, I want to hear it in Japanese because that seems more authentic to me, and then I read the subtitles.
Sure. No, that makes sense.
In Chia, they're only speaking the two languages that are most common in New Caledonia, Drehu, which I believe is the indigenous language, and French, which is the colonized language. You keep the subtitles on for that. I remember the trailers, the hook being that Chia can possess animals and other such small objects around her and then use their abilities or whatever. And yeah, that is a pretty major part of the game, but it's not so overbearing that you're constantly trying to jump into things.
Right.
It's just sort of a fun, cool thing you can do. It's a real eye-opening moment when you, early on, when you start wandering around the world and you're like, yeah, you know, there's no run button for her. She doesn't run real fast.
Okay.
And then you realize, oh, wait, I could just possess a bird and then fly. And then you do that and you possess the bird and you fly for a while and it feels really good. You can probably guess the theme with a lot of these kind of games is kind of that old hoary man is ruining nature kind of a theme.
That makes some sense.
And
sure.
there's some of that in here, but it is not overbearing. It's really more about the sort of the modern cooperation of man and nature, of humankind and the environment. It's not like this overbearing thing where she goes to this village of people that are obviously living a bit more natively than the people in the city.
Right.
And they go, oh, they're the log cutters are coming and destroying our precious forest. Like there's none of that.
Right. The one slurs just stalks into the scene.
Yeah. Nothing like that. And it really does throw you for a couple loops because I remember from the trailers, seeing all the forest stuff and oh, she can become a crab. Hilarious. But then like pretty early on, you walk over a hill and like there's a little city there and you're walking around a little city.
Yeah.
Like, it's not cool. Just this forest thing. So it's just a little city, and then it kind of throws some supernatural elements at you, which are, I presume, taken from New Caledonian myths and legends and folklore, which is pretty cool to learn about, too. So
yeah.
Yeah, nice, great little approachable Legend of Zelda, modern Legend of Zelda kind of a game. You want shrines? It's got shrines.
Right.
You want treasure chests? It's got treasure chests. You want a boat? You want a glider with stamina? It's got a glider with stamina.
The real Legend of Zelda, not the ones that Breath of the Wild erased from memory. The good ones that they do now.
None of the bad ones, just the good
ones.
Awful.
All gone. Well, good.
And it's so easy to grasp. It's so easy to get into and explore. It does not try to kill you by being like too difficult with combat or making you learn parrying or anything like that. It's just so nice. So it's really well done. For $15, I feel bad I didn't buy it for full price.
Yeah, right. No, that's great. No, I'm glad it was good. And it sounds like one to check out if you have held out to this point. $15 is not bad.
No.
Excellent. Well, I guess that's it for 522, a full
show. The sports episode.
A sporty show. And until next time, we're out of here.
Thanks for listening. Say hi on Threads and Instagram at You Like the Worst Stuff and on Blue Sky at The Worst Podcast. We have a tip jar at patreon.com/worststuff. And thank you if you throw a buck our way. Music provided by Eric Madias of soundimage.org. Until next time, this has been Robot Lady. Game over.
If you smell what Chia is cooking, you like the worst stuff.